Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers, and all children of God who attend the worship online, this is the 45th lecture on Genesis. Last time, we talked about how God rested on the seventh day after the completing the work of the creation. And today's verses 4 says, this is a count of the heavens of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven. The history of each of the creation of the heaven and the earth was explained in the detail in chapter 1. Verses 5 to 6 of the text briefly explain what the earth looked like before God created man. And in verse 7, the sins of God creating the man appears, and starting in the verse 8, the detailed explanation of the Garden of Eden appears. The explanation of how Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden in the up to chapter 2 of Genesis, chapter 3 of the Genesis contained the information about how sin entered mankind and the consequences of sin. With this full-scale human cultivation begins. To summarize once again, Genesis chapter 1 contains the creation of the heaven and the earth. Chapter 2 contains the creation of the man and the Garden of Eden. And the chapter 3 contains the beginning of a human cultivation. God's purpose in the creating of heaven and the earth was to obtain the children through the human cultivation. Accordingly, in chapter 2 and 3 of Genesis, God explained the detailed creation of the man and the process of a man's sins, which are the core of a human cultivation. I hope these rough points will help you understand the outline. Verses 5 to 6 of the text briefly describe what the earth looked like before man was created. Now, no shrub of the fields was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground, but mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Those who understand the Genesis chapter 1 well can know what day of the creation is this. First, how many days after creation did the rain started to fall on the earth? Did you know that the fourth day, the sun, moon, and the stars were created and the meteorological phenomena appeared on the earth. However, in the text it says it did not rain on the land. So the point in time the text is lists about before the fourth day. Also, it was said that there is no vegetation in the field yet, and no vegetable had the ground in the fields. The day plants came out of the ground was the third day of creation, right? So, does the text describe what the earth looked like before the third day? The earth was completely submerged in the water until the second day of the creation. Then on the third day, the water gathered in the one place to form the sea, and the land appeared. When the land, which had been submerged in the water for a long time, emerged on the third day, and the ground was covered with a fog due to the moisture contained in the soil. Therefore, it was when the land was revealed on the third day of the creation, but before, plants were created on the land. However, we can learn the important fact that from the words in the verse 6, only a mist came up from the earth and the water and the whole face of the earth. It's the fact that earth land interacts with the atmospheres and is alive. When God created the expanse on the second day of the creation, He created the earth as an atmosphere with the ingredients suitable for life. However, this atmosphere contains not only physical elements necessary for living things, but also spiritual elements. life. The earth was submerged in the water of life for a long time. As a result, the land became alive and full of life. The phenomenon that occurred due to this interaction between the living earth and the atmosphere is expressed in the verse 6 of the text. Only a mist arose from the earth and the water in the whole earth. People often say the land is alive. When you plant a small seed in the ground causes the seed to sprout and grow. It allows you to reap hundreds or thousands of times more fruits than the seed you first planted. In the parable of the field in the Bible, it's said that if you plant a seed in the fertile soil, you will get 30 times, 6 times, or 100 times more. In this way, fruit trees such as apples, pears, and persimmons grow from a single seed and produce a lot of fruits everywhere. When you see the persimmons from a single persimmon tree in the countryside, the fruits aren't that big, but the tree is so big that you have to pick a lot of persimmons from one tree. So thousands of them grow on one persimmon tree. If you add up all the fruits, it's thousands of times more. This is how the ground functions to make a seed sprout, grow, and bear fruits. It's truly amazing. Although the earth does not have any respiratory organ, the earth clearly carries out life functions. So you can probably understand why God created the humans and animals from the ground. When God created the earth, He breathed this power into it, and He made it possible for life to live on this earth. So, if people continue to live in a place with no soil, they may experience the health problems. Of course, it doesn't matter if a person rules and governs the body with a spirit. People who cannot do this may develop the health problem if they do not have any contact with the soil for a long period of time. When we step and breathe the living things, the vitality contained in the earth has a positive effect on us as well. When I was young, there was something I found so fascinating that I tried it many times. If you catch a frog and throw it on the ground, it will spread out its limbs and look dead. It looked dead. It couldn't even stretch out and move its limbs. I buried it in the dirt. After about 30 minutes, the frog became full of the energy and jumped out. I saw this situation several times, and it was so amazing that I tried it several times. I just threw the frog away, it stretched it out, and I buried it in the dirt. Then sometimes later, it would wriggle and came out alive. To my young eyes, the frog was clearly dead. But it was truly amazing to see it came out to life after being buried in the dirt. Now, through the words of Genesis, you've learned that God gave life to the earth. When planted in the ground, countless plants sprout, grow, and bear fruits. How mysterious it is. The earth has a life, and that God created us humans with this life-giving soil. The atmosphere contains not only the physical elements necessary for living things, such as oxygen and the carbon dioxide, but also the vitality breathed into it by God. Through this interaction between the living land and atmosphere and all living things, life continues on earth. What the reason why the outline of the creation is mentioned again in verses 4 to 6? This is to emphasize that is God who created all things on the earth where there was no life and only fog. It's true that the one who made the phenomenon of life possible through the interaction between earth and atmosphere, the one who made the plants grow in the fields and the vegetables grow in the fields, is God. Now, it also emphasizes that God is the one who created the humans and later allowed them to cultivate the fields. In this way, God again states that the creator of all things is God, and now He creates man. And the verses 7 says that then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of the life, and the man became a living being. God the Father created the man in the presence of God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the many angels. God the Father did not create man simply through the words. God the Father did not create man simply through the words. He created man with his own hands. The basic material from which God created man was not unchanging gold or solid iron. It was a soil. God revealed that the soil was a pure clay. So how did God create a man from dust? Just like making an image out of a clay, did God make the entire human image out of a clay? Even if the shape was created that way, how did He create the organs, nerves, and the blood vessels in body? Even if it only looks like it, it's not that simple. Hair, eyebrows, countless hairs on the skin, and even the delicate the texture of the skin must be expressed individually with a clay. How did God create such a small details out of a clay? You may simply think it's because with God the power, all things are possible. Yes, of course, everything is possible with God the power. From now on, I will tell you how God created man. God had all the information about the creatures called the man. He had all the information, so He had the blueprints to create the human. Even when we people build the airplanes, the cars, the rockets, and the satellites, they need the blueprints. And make it according to the blueprints. God had the blueprints to create the people like this. The original light continued to shine from the fingertips of a God who formed the image of a man according to this blueprint. When they formed the man's head, the head was not just a lump of clay, but immediately became a complete human head. He did not individually shape hair out of the clay or create eyes, nose, mouth, ears. Each time God's fingertips pass according to the positions of the eyes, nose, mouth, and the ears designed by God, the original light comes out from that hand and the man was created. God created all of a million species of animals in the same structures to show that God the Creator exists and created them. The positioning of two eyes, one nose, two nostrils, mouth, and both ears is the same for Africans, Asians, and Americans, and the same for animals, and the same for many types of birds, insects, and meat. This fact alone shows that there is a creator, God, providing that God designed and made it this way. How do so many animals over a million species evolve in the same way? If evolutions had occurred, the structures of the million species should have become more diverse. No matter how we evolve, we all have to evolve individually. All of the million species must be different. There can be three or four eyes, but there is a law that says that must be only two in front. Eyes could have evolved into three or four, and that their position could have changes as well. How convenient would it be if you had multiple hands? There doesn't have to be two noses, right? Elephants have a long trunk, so couldn't they have more nostrils? However, regardless of a species, all animals have two eyes, two nostrils, and two ears. This fact tells us that they are creation designed by one God. I'm heartbroken. Evolutionists should come here and listen to these sermons. If they continue to listen to my sermon on Genesis from the beginning, they will probably feel guilty and repent. Students learning evolution at school, think about it. The reason for the existence of the world is either because there's a creator God, or because it's involved we've learned in the school, or because it happened by chance. However, even looking at the solar system, you will admit that it was not created by chance. As you learn in Genesis, the position of the planets and the moons in the universes are very precisely measured in the distance and the size. Thanks to the position of the moon, ocean tide, the humidity, and the temperatures are regulated, and the winds are created in the earth. Just looking at our solar system, we can see how precisely it was established with Father God's providence. But the opinion that happened by the coincidence and the big explosion, this is nonsense. Everything was created with the original light of God. From the head to neck to torso to arms and the hands and the two legs, by the touch of God's fingertips from which the original lights came out, when came to the perfect shape. Even before God blew the breath of the life into Adam, Adam already had this shape. His skin was not dark brown like a mud, but it has a beautiful milky color. The length of his hair was made a little shorter than that of God the Father's, that it reached to just about the base of his neck. Simply speaking, his hair was blonde. To be more specific thought, it may seem shining white at the first glance, but it also had a dimmed golden color. He had a strong figure, but he was neither slim or fat. He was about 5 feet 10 inches tall. There are a lot of men who are much taller than Adam now. He was perfect from his head to toe. He had such a beautiful form. There was a word that God the Father spoke as He made Adam with His love and hurt. Let me introduce the part of it. Truly, my long wish and my hope is contained in this. I wish all that I've hoped and planned may be accomplished perfectly by the beautiful works that I do. My power and the touching makes it possible to create these organs and that very thing. I will be glorified through this man whom is being made beautifully. Through his children, his descendants upon his descendants, my beauty, kindness, gentleness, and my love and mightiness will be proclaimed. I make his mouth beautifully. I make his lips, his ears, his hands, his legs, and everything about him beautifully. As he is born, my long wish and hope will come true. Will he truly understand my heart? Will he feel my heart? Will he ever understand this Father's heart of love who makes every organ, every cell in this body? my long wish makes it possible to give birth to him. And all of this will last till the end of my glory. You can understand how much is a great hope and the love God made in the first man, Adam. By the way, God the Father had a great expectation not only when He created Adam, but also when you were conceived in your mother's womb. A new life is conceived as the combination of the sperm and an egg of a parent. It's God who gives the sperm and an egg. Moreover, it's also God the Father who made you grow up in your mother's womb and allowed for you to be born into the world and grow up. Most of all, it is God the Father who put the never dying and the eternal seed of the life into the spirit and the planted in you. Therefore, both in physical sense and in a spiritual sense, God the Father is your true and the true Father. The word true is not necessary, but I use it for people who doubt that Father God is our Father. Such a God the Father wants to receive the glory from you, just as He hoped to receive it from Adam. God the Father wishes for you to understand His heart and His love. Parents want to see good things from their children. God the Father likewise wants to be glorified by His children. Whether we eat or drink, we only want to give glory to God. The God the Father also gives us glory. And He's preparing a wonderful, happy life in heaven for eternity and eternity life. God wants not only to receive the glory, but also to give plenty of the glory to His children. The full glory that His children receive begins from the Millennium Kingdom. During the Millennium Kingdom on the earth, God's children will be treated as kings. When we go to heaven, angels and the heavenly hosts that we long for on the earth will bow before us and say, Lord. There are truly many angels in New Jerusalem. There are countless angels who serve you, and their number varies depending on your rank. The number of angels in the third heavens is slightly smaller, and the second heaven there were no angels to serve you, so their number is correspondingly smaller. And the first heaven is even fewer, and no angels in the paradise were for those who are homeless and shamefully saved. God wants you to know His heart and His love. If you love Him and know His heart, you will not live in sin on this earth. Your love for the world is a great sorrow to God the Father. What God the Father wants is that you don't love the world. You cut off the things of the world. You really have the hope of heaven and the New Jerusalem. You become pure children of a light. These are the children, and you prepare yourself as a bride and enter with the whole spirit. So why can't you understand the heart of our Father who wants you to enter New Jerusalem and go along with the lead of an enemy, the devil and Satan, who opposes God? No. No way. Our young people can't do this. Moreover, a sin that leads to death is not allowed. What a terrible hell and the judgment there is. Why can't you wake up yet? How close is the end of time now, and how close the time for the Lord to come? But are you still unable to come to your sense? We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Sometimes our last moments come unexpectedly. A serious illness such as a cancer may suddenly strike you. In fact, it's said that one in three or four people suffer from cancer. If one in three or four people has a chance of developing cancer, the odds are pretty high. However, people do not die from cancer alone. There are many types of diseases, including diabetes and phenomena. In fact, not many people will live without any disease at all. I hope all believers will fulfill Father God's long-standing desire. You really need to wake up now. It can't go on like this anymore. You must not allow yourself to go to death anymore. At this moment, let us resolve, change, repent, and never again commit sins that leads to death. After God the Father made Adam with His love and heart, Adam already had a perfect image of a man even before God blew the breath of the life into him. The only things that he did not yet have was a life. To make it easy to understand, it was like a body after it spreads and the soul left the body. With the coming of the original light, the hair was fully formed, yet it remains without life. What do you call a person whose soul has left their body? The person is called a corpse. Even when your parents are passed away, they are corpses. Then God blew the breath of life into his nostrils. Here the breath of life is God's power contained in the original light. Again, the breath of life is God's power contained in the original light. As the breath of the life entered into the Adam's body, he finally came to life and began to move. His heart started to beat, blood began to circulate through his entire body, and all the organs and the cells in his body began to work. It was just as electricity is provided, and all the part of the non-working and the machines begin to operate. If it's electricity that gives life to machine, it's a breath of life that gives life to man's body. As the breath of life, which is the original power of God, enter into the nucleus, that the focal points in Adam's body that God made from the ground, Adam came to life and began to move. His eyes could see things, his ear could hear sounds, and he could stand up and walk. His brain also began to work. He could store what he saw, heard, and learned into the memory system of his brain. Since Adam lived a place where there was no evil at the time, no untruth or evil was input. God the Father also taught him only the knowledge of the truth. All the thoughts, that is the retrieving about what is stored into brain cells, is defined as a soul. Now, did the work of the soul take place in Adam, a living thing? Adam did see and he heard and he had input the truth as well. He retrieved truth as a thought and he spoke the truth of the input. In other words, he also had a work of the soul that belongs to the truth. However, the part of the him that supervises the work of the thought that belonged to the truth was not his soul, but his spirit. The spirit supervises his thought. Soul was like a servant that only obeyed to his master spirit. A servant simply says amen or yes to his master. Everyone just tried to say amen before God, not bring any theory before God. Then, is there anyone who cannot receive the blessing from him? Therefore, when Adam was a living being, there was no need to separate the spirit from soul. All worked under the lead of a spirit. However, after Adam committed the sin of the disobedience, his spirit died according to the law of the spiritual realm. And from that moment on, his soul began to work as a master. Those of you who have not entered into the spirit, your soul is leading your thought. So how frustrating it is. The spirit was supposed to rule and lead yours. So as it says in 3 John, just as your soul prospers, then you want everything is prosper and be in good health. What does it mean? The spirit became the master and the soul became the servant. This relationship allows your soul is prosperous. When the soul is well, everything goes well, and you will be healthy. This means that it's God's will. So when the soul prospers, everything prospers and you are healthy. And as the soul prospers, I'm saying this because the God's Father's will. That's why I always tell you, go to the Spirit. I will tell you it's a result in the greater detail as we get to Genesis chapter 3. God the Father made the first man Adam as a strong young man. This young man Adam grew up a little after being created. I cannot explain precisely how long it was, but he grew up a little bit more until he could father children and bring them up. He grew up until he became mature as a man, and then he maintained that status. His body didn't age, and no part of his body became degraded. For the time as Adam lived in the Garden of Eden, the breath of life that God blew into him surrounded his entire body. In addition, the Garden of Eden where Adam lived is a spiritual place, and it doesn't ride on a fleshly flow. Therefore, even though Adam was made from the ground of this earth, he was full of the breath of life and he could maintain his sound and a healthy body. It was the same for the descendants who were born of the Adam of the Eve, who was created Adam. I already explained why in the Seed of Life lecture, the breath of life that God blew into the Adam automatically was inherited to Adam's descendants that he gave birth to the Garden of Eden. And it made to whole of the descendants of Adam in the Garden of Eden living beings. Adam's descendants in the Garden of Eden are such living beings, and thus they are born, and they grow up. They are affected all the times by the breath of life. As their body parts develop and grow up, the nucleuses that build each part produce that best result thanks to the breath of life. There was no way that something goes wrong during the cell division or something wrong in DNA. Everyone, go into your spirit and go into your whole spirit. So try conceiving and give birth to children. Then you won't give birth to wrong children or children with abnormalities. You will give birth to perfect children and the strong children. Why? Because the sperm and the eggs are healthy. And so there's no baby who is deformed or his infirmity from the birth in the Garden of Eden. Only healthy babies are born. In addition, as the children grow up and they are affected by the breath of life, and thus they grow well and remain healthy as well, this way, all the people in the Garden of Eden are tall and handsome and beautiful. I set the length of the man's hair, which is the bottom end of his neck. The length of the woman's hair is twice as long. Men don't grow beards or mustaches. The people in the Garden of Eden grow up until just past the age of the young man. And at a certain point of time, they stopped growing and their body doesn't age after that. Thus, they can't maintain the status at that point of the maturity. How nice is that the men don't grow beards? Men have to shave every day and he looks clean. He doesn't have to worry about his hair falling out. The reason is because the original power of God controls and rules of the nucleus, which fundamentally controls the body in Garden of Eden. The power of God controls the cell nuclei of the body. I will continue to explain about the living being who is full of the breath of life in the next lecture. These things will be explained how different among the spiritual body, resurrected body, and the living being next time. I will also tell you the spiritual meaning of why God created the humans from dust. Let me conclude it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. In this lecture, I briefly review the work of our creation, and I explained how God created the first man, Adam. When God the Father made Adam, He did it with His love and heart in great hope and expectation. When He made His lips, He wanted Him to sing praises with the lips. When He made His ears, He wanted Him to give ear to the word of God the Father and obey it. When He made eyes, He wanted Him to look up at God the Creator with the eyes and also feel the beauty of all things. When God created our eyes, what did He tell us to see? I said to look up the sky, think of God the Father, think of our original home, sing good things, and do this. This means that the eyes were not created to see things that lead to death, such as those as lead to adultery and the lust and the things that lead to death. We need to look up to the good, look up to the Father, think of heaven and the study of truth. So we can lift our eyes up to look up to the God the Creator and feel the beauty of all things. The same goes for your ears. He tells us to hear good things, and to speak good things. In this way, God the Father wants to be loved through people created in God's image. I wish you can feel such a heart of God the Father. May you become the His pleasing child who can meet His expectation and make His hope come true. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.